The songs that I chose are purposefully chosen. Boy, that was redundant. But they're chosen for the reason of the theme of the service. And we're going to talk in detail about what it means to be holy today. So before we start the service, let me break the myth, okay? If you're holy, you're not going to have a halo. Okay. In fact, halos, the invention of men. You know, it's supposed to be a sign of holiness. And, you know, it's not. Listen, holiness is not external. It comes from the inside out. So we're gonna talk about that in detail. And I'll frame that out for you as we go because it's important. It's misunderstood. The word for holiness is the same word for sanctification. And that's often misunderstood. So Chip is going and Sharon are going to lead you in a series of songs, and I hope you pick up the theme. This is the last Christmas carol in July, so you'll have to wait till December, the beginning of December, for the Christmas carols. But I chose this one because it comes from the Great Commission. Go and tell people about Jesus. He's still alive. He conquered the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And he makes salvation available to anyone who puts their trust in him. So, I'm going to ask you, choir, to stand. Choir. The congregation to stand. I'm thinking ahead to Christmas.
Good morning, church. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it.
Alpha and the Omega. Nothing else matters in this world except that we praise and worship Him. Let God be on my tongue when I awaken. Let God be on my tongue when I slumber. Let my mind be immersed in You, Lord. Thank You for my life. Thank You for my family and friends. Thank You for letting me know You. My life is Yours, Lord. Take me and do with me as You please. Blessed are You, Lord, our God, King of the universe. You make everything possible. Lord, Your grace is everything we need. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us the power to know You and to praise You. Please give us the strength to follow through and to keep You in the forefront of our thoughts and actions. You have blessedly enriched us. You have richly blessed us. Blessed us richly. Please help us to strive to be worthy of all You have done for us. Amen.
Every day,
Won't you please be seated? If you would read with me the responsive reading, which is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 through 28. Okay. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy.
That's it.
That's the wrong one.
1 Peter 15 to 16.
1 Thessalonians.
No. I don't know how you got that.
Well, it was on the thing you sent me.
Okay.
It's okay.
That's the text. That's the.
Oh. Yeah, my fault. Sorry, folks.
No, it's all right. They say the same thing, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. Let's read it again.
But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So God wants us to be like him.
More like him.
More like him.
Right? Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Very good. Okay. Don't go anywhere yet.
Nope.
Okay. Bless you. Bless you. One of the things that... listen, we're a small church, but we offer a lot of opportunity for discipleship. Between the men's group, between the ladies' studies, between the round table, the Kelsey School, and other opportunities, that's only a few. You know, we even go pretty in-depth in prayer meeting. There's a lot of opportunities, and honestly, you know, I'm grateful for the people who take advantage of it, but more should. Because the only way you and I will become more like Christ, which means to become holy, right, is through the work of studying, sitting under the ministry of the word, worship, digging in, asking questions, and kind of having honest conversations about where we're at. So, the effort to continue discipleship, Pastor Fuji and I teach at the Kelsey School of Biblical Studies and Theological Inquiry up in Toms River. The courses that we teach are pretty much on a first-year seminary level. So we kind of push the students purposely, but not to the point where we force them away. It's a good venue because we can learn together, we can talk together. This past year, for the past 2 years, my part of it was the study of eschatology. Eschatology meaning the end times. And I did it purposely because as things started to get crazier in the world and all, I hear a lot of false prophecies, a lot of things, you know. People making statements with no biblical basis, and generally speaking, in the American Evangelical Church, biblical illiteracy is a problem. Theological illiteracy is a problem. So I thought, Pastor Fuji and I thought that it would be a good idea to center on eschatology, and he would center on the Synoptic Gospels. So we had a couple of students who participated in there, and I have their certificates of completion. It's really a beautiful certificate. This first one happens to go to some guy by the name of William Marshall. Do you know who that is?
No idea.
Oh, okay. This is to certify that William Marshall has completed a study in eschatology, and it gives the dates. So we're going to present this to Chip. He did good work. He came up there. Listen, it's not easy because the Kelsey School meets on the second floor of the church. There's no elevator. And but he made the effort, even when he was hurting, to come out. So, God bless you. Well deserved. Well deserved. And then the next one goes to somebody by the name of Pat Newell. Do we know her? Okay. You were there, Pat. You were there. Thank you, and thank you for your hard work. Yeah. And the next one happens to be away this weekend with Naomi. They're on a Girl Scout trip, and that's for my daughter-in-law, Melissa Salivari. She completed it. And accepting on behalf of Melissa will be Joe. He told me not to say that, but I'm his father. I don't care. Yeah. Oh, you're going to, here, come and take it. Come and take it. Yeah. He's hiding doing the technical stuff in the back. So that's quite an accomplishment. We didn't do final exams this year because we kind of ran out of time, and the final exam I had the year before, I was told, was tougher than Dr. Fuji's. So we kind of toned it down a little bit. But this September, we'll be looking at Isaiah. I'm preparing it now. I've been preparing it for a couple of months already. I'm getting excited about it. It's kind of a survey. There'll be a lot of reading involved. But it'll be good, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. Isaiah, a major prophet in the Old Testament. And again, sometimes we get the office of prophet kind of confused. So it'll be a good study for all of us. I hope you can come. That will meet starting in September. I don't have the start date yet, but we start at 12:05 up in Toms River. So from here, we run up to Toms River. So, thank you to all who participated. Just an update on the granddaughter of Joe and Barbara Lesniak. Everything's benign. So, that's an answer to prayer. That's a real answer to prayer. So, I don't know what the next step is, probably some surgery, but they're going to meet with the doctors this week. The fact that it's benign is a good sign. So I mean, we've had some incredible answers to prayer here, and I hope we don't take them for granted. I really do. Also, for our prayer today, it's going to be very simple. We need to pray for our country. Very simple. You know, hearing the economy's going well, although I know people are still struggling, but maybe it is going well. You know, I hear that other things are going well, and okay. But the one thing that still concerns me is morally we're not doing well. And even in the church in North America, we're not doing well. So would you join me for a few minutes of prayer for our country? Father, I just I'm very concerned about our country. The level of hatred, the level of anti-Semitism, the level of the militant violence that we've been seeing, not only political, but even on the road. The fact that people seem to have short fuses, and the fact that socially, we're lacking in social skills. But more than that, Father, we're lacking in the moral fiber of the Judeo-Christian ethic, which has been the core for this country ever since its inception. We have moved farther and farther away as a country and a culture from that ethic. So, Father, we lift up our country before you. We need a season of repentance, confession. We need a season where we cry out to God. We need a season where people are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I hear that there are pockets of revival with the youth. We praise you for that. But Father, here in the Northeast, it's been very tough. Father, I pray, should you be pleased to send the move of the Holy Spirit, wake up the Northeast, wake up Washington, D.C., wake up all to know that without God, we're nothing. Father, preserve your church, guard it against the schemes of Satan. Help us to be true to the word and to the cross. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to ask whoever's going to help with the collection if you would come forward. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to give. Everything we have belongs to you, Father. We thank you for your grace, for your provision, for how you incredibly and miraculously provide. We give back to you a portion, Father, of what you give to us. May we do it voluntarily. May we do it with glad hearts. And may we do it with the expectation of reaching others for Christ. Bless the gift and the giver. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this discussion of holiness, which is the subject of the last five verses of 1 Thessalonians, I need to give you a little bit of a lesson in theology, if you would bear with me for a second. Theologically speaking, the Bible teaches us that the moment you and I trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit takes up residency in us. He seals our salvation. Isn't that great? He is the deposit of what is to come. And these are some of the terms that the Bible uses. But having said that, more importantly, when we put our trust in what Christ did for me, for you personally, on the cross, the Puritans call that the great transaction. The moment we believe, he takes our sin and nails it to the cross. He paid for the full wrath of hell for our sin that we deserve. He imparts to us his righteousness, his holiness. This is a great transaction because positionally, and this is important, positionally now, when God looks at us, he looks at us through the holiness that's been put around us because of Jesus Christ. So positionally, we're holy. It's as if you and I never sinned because everything was paid for up there. Does that make sense? Practically, we're not holy. We struggle with that, don't we? And one of the reasons in the Great Commission, God says this, go and make disciples of all nations, is that he knows that once we commit to following Christ, we become students then, that's what a disciple means, and followers of the one that we open our hearts and mind to teach us how to become more like him, meaning Jesus, from the inside out. That is sanctification. That is practical sanctification. It doesn't happen overnight. Doc might attest to this, although he did better in pre-med than I did with organic chemistry. Organic chemistry was the hardest subject I had in pre-med. And in fact, it was the first test I ever failed, my first test in organic. And it upset me, because I wasn't used to failing. So I wrote a little note to the instructor saying, I don't understand this. I studied, and you know, I still failed. So he sent a note back to me, you know, in red pen, when they could use red pen, right? He said, study harder and stop complaining. He was right. Listen, I thought I was prepared. I thought, you know, I was going to ace the test. Little did I know that the professor was smarter than me and gave a tough test. He actually had to think. Sanctification is a lot like that. It doesn't happen to us overnight. It takes the grace of God, and should underline grace, and it takes the Spirit of God to initiate that process in us, because in and of ourselves, we don't want it. I'll give you an illustration. If you go and read Romans 7, you can do it later, but in there, Paul talks about this struggle, this inner struggle that we all have to become more like Jesus. He says, the very thing I know I should do, this is the Apostle Paul, I don't do. And he says, the things I don't want to do, I do. Sound familiar? We're all in that struggle, aren't we? And, you know, we kind of, that's life, that we kind of go back and forth in this. However, God never calls us to perfection in this life. He calls us to progress. Got that? In other words, he wants to see us make progress to become more like Jesus. And it's going to take his grace, his mercy, and the Holy Spirit to open our hearts so that step by step we can become more like Jesus. Are we okay with that? Okay. Now, this means, well, let me, Doc, since I mentioned you, I'm going to use you as an example, okay? How many years of formal training have you had for to do surgery? So that's a lot. So you didn't go to medical school and expect to graduate a surgeon right away. Okay. See, here in America, we love shortcuts. There is no shortcut in sanctification. We want, you know, we go out and buy books on how to and how to grow in Christ and this and that. It's all here. The thing that we have to say and submit to, we have to submit, number one, to the Holy Spirit. We have to submit, number two, to the Word of God and say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. Transform me from, we just sang it, the inside out. Holiness in the church, I'm sorry to say, is very misunderstood many times. Positionally, we are holy the moment we're born again. Practically, we're all on that journey. Now, for theological education, I've had 11 years of official study between my master's and my doctorate. And I could tell you, I am not where I want to be as far as my journey in holiness. But I could also tell you this, I'm not where I was. By God's grace, there's been progress. Satan would want to tell you and discourage you and whisper in your ear that, look at you, you're not making any progress at all, so why don't you just give up? Giving up is the worst thing you can do. Because once you believe that lie, Satan's won. In the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as giving up. I want to make that clear. There's no such thing as giving up. Let's look at these verses. It's a few verses. This is Paul. These are the final instructions in the first letter to the Thessalonians. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Wow. This doesn't mean putting on a good front or looking a certain way or carrying the right translation of your Bible or any other nonsense like that. This is saying, may God and the God of peace, peace why? Because he sent his son to settle the conflict between us and God. Once we receive Christ, we have the peace of knowing that we're right with God. The war is over. We declared war. And God sent the solution in Jesus Christ. May that same God sanctify us through and through. Another way of saying that, may we invite the Holy Spirit and the Word of God into every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. Let me ask you some diagnostic questions. Okay? Here you go. And you don't have to answer these out loud. I meant to get some more, but the week's been so busy. But here are some. Is your behavior at a party the same as your behavior in the church? Would God be honored by our behavior when we socialize with a group of people? Would God be honored by our behavior in school? Would God be honored in our behavior in our workplace? Would God be honored when we are alone, using our computers or cell phones? And these are only a few examples. We seem to have this thinking that church is church, work is work, the real world is different from church. Well, the real world is different from church, but how we go into the real world should never be different than church. You understand that? Okay? That is, we should bring Jesus into the workplace. And I'm not talking about getting up on your desk and, you know, telling everybody they're going to be damned to hell if they don't. No, that means that you go do a good day's work for a good day's pay without complaining, and you do it excellent. You do it with excellence. That means you don't gossip about your fellow workers. That means you, with the power of God, love other people who might be unlovable. What about in our neighborhoods? Right? Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a sign of holiness, by the way. That's hard. Sometimes we don't have real good neighbors. But we're commanded to love them. And only by grace can we do it. We go, we're invited to a party. I see this all too often, unfortunately. And how we behave at the party, nobody would know that we're Christ followers because of our behavior. I see it all too often. You know? Many theologians, some from the 50s and 60s, have prophesied this in a sense that they said, you know, too much of the world has been seeping into the church. And too much of the world has been seeping into our lives. Where we, you know, in our effort to quote unquote blend in, we become no different than the world. And that's a shame because we're called to be different. We're called to be set aside for the use of God, to be used by God, I should say. That's what sanctified means, by the way. To be set aside by God for his use. Sanctify you through and through. Now listen, if you think I'm wrong, look at the next sentence. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we always look to the future. At least we ought to be as believers. We did a study in men's group last year on the theology of heaven. It was a great study. And how heaven should motivate us in the way we live now with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is saying, may your whole spirit, soul, and body, that's the entire person, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Let me put it to you a little bit more simply. If Jesus came right now, are we ready? Or will we have to apologize, oh Lord, I went to this party last night and I wasn't exactly behaving the way I should. Or Lord, you know, I haven't been to church for the last 5 weeks. And yeah, I mean, whatever excuse there is no excuse. We're called to be sanctified through and through. The thing that I thought of here, and it's an incomplete illustration, and I'm not sure if it really applies. I don't drink tea. Some of you drink tea, right? You know, the only way I know how to make tea is with a tea bag, right? You hot water, you put tea in the tea bag. If that water didn't go through and through the tea bag, there would be no flavor of tea, correct? If we don't let the Holy Spirit rule in every area of our lives would have no flavor of Jesus. None at all. Your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Only Jesus can do that for us at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's sanctifying work in our lives should be transformation from the inside out, not from the outside in. We don't have to go around wearing different clothes. We don't have to go around, you know, with a halo over our head. We don't have to do that. All we have to do is walk in the power of the Holy Spirit under the authority of God's word, and people will catch the flavor of Jesus. We need more of that in the church. But you say, Pastor, okay. Listen, you know, I've been getting discouraged. I know I'm not where I should be. And if we're all honest, that we should all say that. We're not where we want to be. And when I hear statements like that, I'll say to people, let's do a timeline. Let's do a timeline of the last 5 years. And I give them very specific instructions on how to do the timeline. And I said, when you look back at the last 5 years and how you handled adversity, how you handled key points in your life, and where you are now, do you see progress? Oh, yeah. Well, that's by the grace of God. Even though you're not where you want to be, but you're not where you were. And we got to keep doing that periodically. Otherwise, we start to believe the lie of Satan that we're no good. We're never going to make progress. I did another list of how do we enter into this process practically. In other words, what are some things we can do to make ourselves available to God, to sanctify us through and through? Not to keep Jesus out of any area of our life, our social life, our political life, our economic life, our health. Everything's open to Jesus. Here are some of the things we can do. Have consistent devotional times in the Word. Consistent. Let the Holy Spirit, under the direction of the Word, guide us in our journey. These are nothing new. You know these things. Have a time of private worship and attend corporate worship services on Sunday. Listen, I don't know about you, but I do sing when I'm alone. I sing in the shower. It makes me sound pretty good. I sing in the car sometimes when I'm alone. I do have private worship, and that's important. So is corporate worship, coming to worship at the church. When we choose to stay home, we're doing injustice not only to ourselves, but to the rest of the church. We truncate that process. Ask the Holy Spirit to give us a teachable and contrite heart. The day where I think I know everything, I'm done. I'm no longer teachable. And one of the things I found in Scripture is that I have a lot more to learn. The more I study, the more I know I don't know. And I have a lot more to learn. That's why I'm enjoying preparing for Isaiah. Because as much as I have read Isaiah through the years and even preached through it, I'm discovering more stuff in there now that God is using in my own life to bring to you and to teach at the Kelsey School. I'm never going to be done learning, even when Jesus calls us home, because we found out when we looked at heaven from a theological perspective that it's going to be an eternity of learning. Learning about God, learning about Jesus Christ, and learning about the Holy Spirit. Avail ourselves to individual and group Bible studies, the theological roundtable, the Kelsey School, and other ways that we can grow in sanctification. Ask the Holy Spirit ask the Holy Spirit's help to make right choices every day that would bring honor to God, and ask Him to keep us from temptation. Isn't that the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And of course, just give us our daily bread. That's not just food, that's His word. And last is pray without ceasing. Be Tevye. Remember, I used him as an example. Have a dialogue with God all day long. In the workplace, in school, wherever you are. Have a dialogue. 80% of professing Christians do not finish well. They get discouraged. They give up. 80%, that's a high percentage. That's why we should always have our eyes on the fact that Jesus is coming again, or He may call us home. Either one. Now, I don't know about you, but I hope I will hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." By His grace, we will persevere. We're going to, you know, it's ironic to see how this all fits in. We're going to start 2 Thessalonians next week, and we have the Lord's table next week. But the first five verses I'm going to be preaching on in 2 Thessalonians, I titled it "The Lord's Gym." We cannot move on without exercising our faith. And we'll look at more of that next week. Well, let's finish this out. And here's how we persevere. The one who calls you, that's God Himself, right? It's faithful. He's not going to go back on His word. And He will do it. In other words, we don't do this in our power. We do this all in His power. But we have to make ourselves available to Him and put ourselves in the right situations so we can continue to grow and become more like Christ-like. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Yeah, the beginning of this was the prayer of Paul and Silas and Timothy for the church in Thessalonica. Now he's saying, listen, brothers and sisters, we need your prayer too. We struggle with the same thing. Pastors struggle with the same thing. We need to pray for each other. Then he says, listen, greet all God's people with a holy kiss. That was the custom of the time. That could be a handshake, that could be a hug, right? Whatever is accepted and customary. That is, we show that we are concerned and just say, hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you. Glad you're here. We need you here. Right? And this one I love. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. Paul thought this letter was so important, everyone had to read it. I have to laugh when people say to me, and I've heard this, unfortunately, yeah, I missed service today, but it wasn't for me. Oh, really? How do you know? You don't even know what happened. How do you know it wasn't for you? I'll tell you what I've experienced over the years. In times where you feel like, you know, if I miss church today, it's not going to hurt. Yeah, it does hurt, but here's what I've experienced. Even as a pastor, there are times I don't want to go to church. You believe that? We're all on the same team here. But in times I come, I found out that God has something special for me. He's got something special for you. Are we open to it? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It's all by grace. That's why we sang the song by grace alone. Just as Paul asked for prayer for themselves, we need to pray for one another, and I need your prayer. If we don't pray for one another in this regard, and you don't pray for me in this regard, we're being negligent. That's what God commands us to do. Pastor, I don't know what to pray for. I'll raise my hand, pray for me. I need it. Do you? I need it. I mean, life can get tough sometimes, can't it? And we'll talk about that next week. That's God's gymnasium for us. And we'll talk about that next week. But I need your prayer, and you need mine. Listen. As we end the service, we started it with the admonition from Peter, which is not only found in Peter, but it's found many times in the Old Testament and New Testament, where God says, bless you. Be holy, God says, because I am holy. That's a command. Be holy, because I am holy. It would be wise, I think, for all of us to honestly just take some time before God and ask ourselves some of these diagnostic questions. Say, okay, Lord, am I failing here? Was my witness honoring to you here? We have to ask those hard questions sometimes so that we can come together and say, Lord, I need to grow more. I need to grow more like Christ. Help me. So let me let you off the hook here. Okay? We all fall short. But that's no reason to continue to do what we shouldn't do. this is a good starting point to say, okay, Lord, help me. I want to become more like your Savior, more like my Savior from the inside out. I'll give you a quick window into Isaiah before I ask Chip to come up and sing the final song. The prophet's main job was to call people to repentance and confession, because the main sin, anybody want to take a guess at what the main sin that both Judah and Israel, and the church, by the way, have that God speaks most about? Anybody want to take a guess? Yeah. Well, pride is in there, but it's not, I'll say it. Unbelief and idolatry. Because if we're not believing God, we're believing something else or someone else. And that's idolatry. And Isaiah goes before the nation of Judah. Israel was already consumed by the northern kingdom, already consumed by Assyria. But Isaiah comes with an invitation from God. First is the indictment, and then the invitation from God. Come, let us reason together. Those are beautiful words. God still wants to talk to us, no matter where we are in this journey. And we can come to him and say, hey, Lord, I got a long way to go. I fail here. Just talk to him. Today's a good place to start. Amen? None of us go around with an S on our chest for Super Christian. We're all on a journey together. Let's pray for one another. And let's ask God to help us by his grace. Chip? Sharon?
Please rise if you're able. Sing, Holy is the Lord.
singing. God bless you all. I'm glad you came today. I hope you make it home before the thunder. Let's pray. Father, would you dismiss us in the power of your Holy Spirit? Help us, each of us, day by day, as you work in our lives and through the word and through worship and through Bible studies, help us become a little bit more like our Savior. And we'll give you all the glory and all the credit. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Hey, good. Go have a great lunch.